Corinthians chapter 12, and we've been talking about the gifts of helps and administrations. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Pray, Lord, and minister to us tonight and to steer us into the direction that the gifts he wants to use us in. Not just to sit and come under a word, but to aim us to seek you, to seek the Lord. Father, we come before you tonight, my God. We do thank you that you've blessed us once again, that we're here. That, Lord, we're able to come round your word. And I do pray, Lord, what the messages we've been listening to over the last few weeks, Lord. I pray, Lord, even tonight, as with them, Lord, you drive us to seek you in those gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, what you want us to have, my God. That, Lord, how we can be a benefit to your body, my Lord Jesus. And how we can lift your name more on high. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, and it says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then the gift of healings, helps, and administrations and varieties of tongues." And we're going to be talking about the gift of helps and administrations. Now, we should always keep in mind, whenever we study the spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit always gives as he wills. It's what gift he wants you to have. Because we could look what other people's doing and think, yeah, I want to be that, I want to do that. And we can try and force our way in somewhere where the Holy Spirit's not leading us. He wants every one of us in here has got a purpose for the body of Christ. But everyone can't be the same thing. The Holy Spirit's got a gift for you, got a gift for me. But our job is to seek him into what our part is to play. It's not our job to tell him what part we want to play, but what part he wants us to play in the body of Christ. You know, in this gift, first we're going to talk about helps. Now, helps is an unseen gift, really. I suppose, how many of you in here before this have actually heard of the gift of helps? Well, an handful. Because if I said who's heard of the gift of tongues, how many's heard of that? Everyone. Because it's an unseen gift, isn't it? See, when you've got the gifts of tongues or prayer or teaching or healings, miracles, faith, things like that, they're seen. But the gifts of helps is unseen. And the trouble is, a lot of the time is, everyone likes to be seen doing something. Everyone likes the pat on the back. I'll tell you how I know that. Do something good. Come in here. And let someone else stand next to you and tell him they've done what you did. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden inside you rages something that goes, "You never done that, liar's face, I done it." Because there's something in every one of us that's that pride. You see, with the gift of helps, it's not there, it's unseen. These are the ones that do everything behind the scenes. They see things what no one sees in here. And it's a spiritual gift. Because a lot of the time, things could happen. And it could just go right by me. And yet another brother or sister can spot something and see the need. Because it's unseen. And that's why it's a gift. And with this gift of helps as well. It's something that it's a joy to that person to do. It's not something where they get told to do something. Then they grumble about doing it. And they do it anyway because he's serving the Lord. It's a joy to be a help. Because when the Holy Spirit gives you a gift, it's a joy to be used in that gift. Because you're being used by the Lord. You see, from the beginning, when God created man, why did God make Eve? Helper. Helper. Help, wasn't she? The help. The Holy Spirit. What's another word for the Holy Spirit? If I go, another what will come? Comfort or helper. Come on, wake up. Listen, all through the Old Testament, Moses needed a helper, didn't he? Who was Moses' helper? Joshua. Elijah. Elisha. Everyone needed helpers. Everyone. You see, and God knows that. See, God knows us in here. We all need help. All of us in here, at some point or another, we'll need someone with that gift to help me and you. Because we're not built to be alone. That's why we're part of the body of Christ. That's why we're part of the body. You see, help can be used in many ways. I think one of the best ways I've seen it used, right? People know there's a need. Someone's not doing no good at work, or they're ill and they can't go to work. Someone to take a bag of shopping round. Just think nothing of it. Go and take a bag of shopping round for the person. Give them money. Help them out. I've seen that loads of times. When they see a need, one of the brothers are talking, so-and-so's ain't doing very well. Can we all get together and meet that need? Because there's people that God uses to spot that. You see, even in here, you notice people that's got the gift of helps. You know when it's time to set out the meeting, set the chairs out, set the speakers out, do the tea, clean up after the meeting. It's not me, by the way, before you think, yeah, Johnny, you do it. Oh, it's definitely not me, because I'll chat all night and let it all go past. But it's always the same brothers and sisters, isn't it? They just get on with it, do it, and they don't moan. I've never had no one come to me and go, so-and-so's up there again talking. They're not doing it. Because they're not worried about who's doing this and who's doing that. Their service is unto the Lord. The Bible says everything you do, do it unto the Lord. And that's the difference. Because that's such a blessing to have. But them sort of things. And listen, when people are helping you, when you get helpers in a church, even to pastors, it's a big help. Even just to stack them chairs. You don't realise how big of an help that is. But God knows. God knows what we need. You see, you know, when you've got people that can't make meetings, I've heard of brothers that will go out their way, drive miles from where they live, and go and pick people up for meetings because they can't make it. When other people, more like myself, think, oh, driving out there, I'll be back 12 o'clock at night. But to them it's nothing. I'll go and do it. They can't get to church, I'll go and get them. Yeah, but they're 30 miles away. Don't worry about that. I will go and get them. What if they can't read the Bibles, they help them understand and things like that. They're always there to meet a need. They're always seeing it. And yet, no one's heard of it in here. Start the meeting, no one's heard of it. And that's a shame, isn't it? Because I think, really, instead of the gifts of prophecy or tongues or teaching and things like that, this gift's needed the most. Helps is needed the most. Do you know when you find that out? You know when you're going through something, you really do need help. You know, especially if you're going through a very hard time, problems at home, maybe you lost someone, you will know. You know when that person comes around and says, God laid me on your heart to come around and see you. And you don't realise how good that does. You see, and the thing is, this is the funny thing about it is, you might not even know you've got the gift. You might not even know it. Because in Matthew 25, when they talk about the last days, when the sheep and goats judgment of Christ, and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. So when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you give me drink. When I need clothing, you clothe me. And they said, when did I do that, Lord? When did I do it? He said, when you've done these to the least of my little ones, you've done it unto me. You might not even know you go. It might, because do you know why? Because when the Holy Spirit gives you a gift, it's as natural as breathing. That's what a gift is like. That's what a gift is like. When the Holy Spirit gives the gift, it's as natural as breathing to you. It just becomes part of your character. And this is, I'll thank the Lord for brothers like that. You know, in Romans 16, verses 1 and 2, when you talk about through the New Testament, Romans 16, 1 and 2, it says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church of Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has needs for you. For indeed she has been a helper of many, and myself also. So you got Phoebe in the early church, like when Paul's a time. Recognised as an helper. She didn't just help Paul. She was an helper to everyone. You got Paul and Silas. Silas was Paul's helper. In Acts 15 verses 39 to 41. It says, then contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, becoming commended by the brethren, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So Paul chose an helper in Silas. He had an argument with Barnabas. Barnabas took Mark and went one way, he went the other with Silas. But Silas was a big help to Paul. We all need it. Paul was probably the greatest Christian that I know, well, that I've read about. And he needed an helper. You see, it even comes down to this, and I think maybe it's something to pray about. You know when our sisters do this Sunday school in here? That's where helpers are needed a lot as well. Because they're teaching the next generation, really. That's all they're teaching. The next generation, they're not sitting under the sound of my voice in here. You know when we have Sunday school, our next generation are with the sisters in there, learning the things of the Lord. Maybe there's something to pray about. Say, Lord, what's my gifting? How can I be an help, Lord? You know, when they need to come and say we need sisters to help in there, go and help. And listen, I've had chavvies of my own, and I know chavvies do your brain right in. And you don't want other people's children to do it. But you know what you know what happens in that room? Foundations are being laid. Are going to last for eternity. They're going to last for eternity. What's ever put into them children there, the sisters are going to bear the fruit from that, and that's going into eternity. They're giving the children a foundation. And that's a big help. Because me, Joseph and Charles, I definitely ain't got time to sit and teach the children things. How much is an helper is that? And it's a blessing. Blessing to be part of it, to see the fruit. But listen, these people, you see, I don't know if we're going to go for it next Tuesday. The main characteristic of these helpers is love. That's what it is, it's love. Because straight after 1 Corinthians 12, Paul starts talking about love. When he says, if I speak with the tongues of angels and of men but have not love, I become like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. The love that Paul talks about is agape love there, or agape love. It ain't love that just God can love with. Paul tells me and you to love like that. That's a love that's got no conditions on it. And you might say, well, I can't love like that. How can I love like that? No, that's right, you can't. But you know, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside me and you can lead us to love like that. Because if we can't love one another, you know, all the gifts that we've talked about over the last couple of months is complete and utter waste of time. If there ain't no love behind it, you know, forget it. Because you know the people who help, it's love that motivates them. It's the love, they see a brother and sister in need, they know something's going on, it's love that makes them go there and help. And that's what every gift. To be able to pastor, you've got to love. To be able to have the gift of faith, you've got to love. Or just anything. It all boils down to that fact. That if love ain't behind it, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Because what happens is, yeah, we got the gifts, Lord. The Corinthians had the gifts. The Corinthians had all the gifts. And yet, that's one of the worst churches you read about. What does Paul say? Yeah, you've got all the gifts, but you're nothing but a clanging cymbal. If there ain't no love there, you can have all the healings in the world here. But if there ain't no love behind it, so what? So what? There's got to be love. And that's something of it. There's got to be that love. And after Paul talks about helps, he talks about administrations. Now, the word administration means governments or leadership. That's what it means. And the gifts of governments is like leadership. And basically, I read an illustration. It's like you're the pilot and you're carrying all the passengers. They're following you. They're on that plane. That's what a government, that's what it means. You're the pilot and you're directing everyone else. That's what the gift of governments is. Now, it's used in many things in the church. Loads of things. But the main point of this gift is the welfare of everyone in the church. The wealth, that's the point of the gift of administrations or governments. It's the welfare. That means if any wolves come in here to try and destroy the flock, it's every pastor's got to have this gift. If they ain't got this gift of governments or leadership, they can't pastor. Because it's about the welfare of the church. And they've got to see if anyone false comes in, they've got to sort this out. It's the welfare of the church. And this, but I was reading about people who did rule, did govern. When you're reading about David in 2 Samuel 23, was it? No, Solomon, sorry. 2 Samuel 23, verse 3. It says, "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." So a part of the governments or leadership, what they talk about, they must fear God. And that's not a fear of God as like, I've done something bad, he's going to strike lightning down and judge me. This is a reverence for God. This is everything we do is in reverence of him because he sees all. It's just like when I was growing up, listen, I feared my dad. Well, not as if the point, look, if I do something wrong, he's going to beat me rotten, but I feared him because it was out of reverence and respect I feared my father. When I went out and I'd done something, I was going to do something wrong, in the back of my mind, it would always be, what would my father think of this? I hope my father don't find out about this. And people who have this gift, it is always about, what's God going to think of this? Is this the right way? It's all about, listen, every Christian should fear God. Not just anyone with this gift. Every Christian should have the healthy fear of God. That's in 2 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 3. One Timothy 3:5, talking about man ruling his own household. He says, "For if a man who does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" Which is, if your leadership or government, by anything, if my children were in here, well, not now, I mean a few years ago, if they was running wild in here, my Johnny's nearly 20 year old, if he was running wild in here, well, I'll be out the door. But if my children were bad children, kept playing up every meeting, playing up, and I got up here and started telling you how to direct your own home, this is how you should be Christians at home, what would you say? Well, you're not doing it in your own home. So how can you tell me if you don't rule your own house? That's because people will take notice. If you tell someone even about the Lord, they don't know if you live Christianity or not. Because when you witness, I've seen people witness, and they're telling people about the Lord, and I've seen a non-Christian turn around and say to them, "Well, you don't do that in your own life," because they know people see, people are not stupid. Look, we can all come in here and have the best Christianity in the world, every one of us. But what's our name like outside of this building? What's your name like? If I mentioned your names to people, as people you know, would it be in the name of a Christian? What would it be? That's the thing to think about. What would it be? What would they say about you? And that's a serious... And listen, all boils down to this. Fear God. Live your testimony in the Lord. But you've got to take... Because, listen, it's a serious thing. And Romans 12 verse 8, it says about leading with care. He who leads, lead with diligence. Diligence means lead with great care. Make sure you take notes how you lead. Lead with great care. Stay on that straight road and lead. Because you've got to lead that way. That's the people with this gift have to lead that way. You have to take care of what God's given you because there's such a great responsibility. And we're going to find out different ways in the church this is used. But it's such a great responsibility. Where you go or what so you're doing things in the church, other people are going to follow. And if other people, and they're in your care. So we've got to be very careful how we go on like this. Because if you fall, or your testimony is bad, or you're stepping out of line, you're going to be a stumbling block to all them people that's following you. Listen, the gifts of God are serious. They're not to be taken as a joke or to be taken lightly. They're to be taken serious. You see, and I think one of the main ones for me, when you read the Old Testament, in Numbers 20, verses 1 to 13, about misrepresenting God. When Moses was in the desert, the people were grumbling, they're keeping on to Moses, we've got nothing to drink, nothing to drink. He's got upset. God said, look, just speak to the rock, water will come out. And they'll drink. Moses got upset and he said, how long shall I be with you stiff-necked people? And smashed the rock. And the water come out. God still blessed the water come out. But Moses was judged for that. He misrepresented God to the people. And what was Moses' judgment? What couldn't he do? He never entered the promised land. God takes it seriously. Even with this, and look, as we're going to talk about the gifts in a second, who's got this. But we must represent God right. If you've got other people following you, and you're lead, like, even if you're going witnessing, and you're the lead one, and other people are following you, listen, make sure you're doing it with great care. Don't misrepresent God. It's a serious thing. In fact, the Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ. That's what the Bible calls us. That means when we go out, we speak on behalf of the King. And we better be careful what we say on behalf of the King. Now, and the greatest example of leadership was this. In John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, when you got the disciples arguing about who's going to be the greatest disciple, greatest in heaven, he says, Jesus went, got a basin, filled it with water, knelt down, and started washing the disciples' feet. That's leadership right there. That's governments right there. If you've got a gift, the Bible says the governments will be upon his shoulders. If you've got a gift, Jesus is the perfect example of it. It ain't about the fact, look at me, I'm out in the front, look at me. Those who have that gift have got to be willing to be where Jesus is at. Everyone shouldn't be washing your feet, you should be washing theirs. And that's where the gift brings you to. You see, in the church, whoever's got this gift, you must understand this, that Christ is the head. Whatever government, whatever part of the body we're serving in, Christ is the head of it. He's the head of it, and he's in control. Not us. Us three ain't in control of this church. Christ is in control of this church. If we don't seek him and seek where his leading is, we're going to go in the wrong direction, aren't we? It's Christ has got to be the centre of it. So, pastors and elders must have this gift. If they didn't lead, we had the gift of governments, we're in eldership. That means three of us in here are working together for the good of the church. But if we couldn't lead, it'd be a free fall in here, wouldn't it? Listen, you see them on the telly. Well, don't flick the God channels on. Don't flick them on, because there's people rolling up, they're laying hands on people, they're rolling up the floors, people barking like dogs and doing this. I see one is bouncing about on a pogo stick. Where's Seven Worship's that? It's absolutely crackers. But that's where, and if there ain't leadership there, that's where it goes, because it goes absolutely crackers. You see, people, there's one man, I've got to turn it off because it winds me up. I watch these things and it gets me upset. It's like they're smashing their drums and they're dancing and going mad. That ain't worship. Let's not worship the God. They're not seeking the King. They're just having a good time, aren't they? That's what they're doing. But where there's no leadership, where there's no gift there, it's a free-for-all. That's the problem with it. And we can't have a free-for-all. We serve a God who is a God of order. He's a God of order. Those that lead in worship, those that lead in worship have got to have this gift. Because if you're leading people in the worship, you're leading people in the worship, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's got to be order in worship, isn't there? When you read in the Old Testament, when they come round that temple, when they've done the sacrifices, when they took the coals off the altar of burnt offering, and then they took it inside and put it on the golden altar, and the sweet smelling saviour went up. There is an order where God wants things. God wants his worship orderly. And when someone's leading in worship, it's their job to lead into worship. It ain't their job to be looked at and go, look at me, how great I am. Someone who leads in the worship leads people to worship the Lord. Because that's where worship's due. And they've got to have that gift. Because what a blessing it is to have that. Even if you do prayer, you lead people in the prayer, God's got to enable you to do that. It's very hard. Especially with travellers. When you lead a group of travellers anywhere, listen, I do the museum a lot, right? Believe me, some days it's the hardest job in the world. Listen, it's very hard sometimes. But you've got to keep things in order. Because, let's be honest, travellers are a different breed of people altogether, aren't they? Thank the Lord for the elders of the mission and the brothers that put conventions on. And the brothers that take care of it, they've got the gift of governments. Because let's be honest, where can 2,000 or 3,000 travellers go and not be a load of murders? And they go and worship the Lord. There's got to be that gift, don't they? And thank the Lord that he gives them gifts to men. You know, and listen, even the sisters and that who do the Sunday school, there's a gift in there. Because that's leading the children there, isn't it? That's the governments for the children. That's what it is. They need that gift. Because there's got to be an order to it. And God gives these gifts. And it's our job to pray and seek the Lord. But there's loads of things. When you talk about the church finances and the treasury and things like that. The brother taking care of all the books. It's a very difficult thing. You need them gift of governments and these brothers and sisters to do these gifts. And they need it more than ever. But unfortunately, they're the complete boring gifts at the lot. No one wants them because it's all running behind. But you know what? They're the most important ones. When you go to a concert, now I ain't been to many concerts, right? But let's just try. But when you go to them and you see the background that goes on, to make that person who's in front, like Elvis, to make him look like the superstar in front, the music's got to be in time, the speakers have got to be right, the stage has got to be right, the lighting's got to be right, everything has got to be spot on for that to work. And someone with the gift of governments makes sure everything is spot on for everything to work. And that's what's needed. And this is very hard. And listen, but when you read about Isaiah 9:6, when it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus is the main example of it. He's the main example of that gift. We mirror what he does, don't we? So if God's given you that gift, now, that's for you to pray about, if the Holy Spirit, if he's leading you that way. You say, "Lord, if that's the way I'm being led, let me lead it how you'd lead." If it's the gift of helps, "Lord, help me to help how you would help." Because ultimately, when we do these things, we are showing Jesus Christ, don't we? Let's pray.